Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. And I'm going to read this from the Message today. Okay? The good news of Jesus Christ. The message begins here. Following to the letter, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Watch closely. I'm sending my preacher ahead of you. He'll make the road smooth for you. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to forgiveness of sin. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem as they confessed their sins, were baptized by him in the River Jordan into a changed life. John wore a camel hair habit, tied at the waist with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild field honey. As he preached, he said, "The real action comes next. The star in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out." The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Can I have the children come down for the children's sermon? Morning.
Morning.
How are you guys?
Good.
All right. That's all I want to hear. All right. Let's see what we got here. Can I shake it? I can. All right. Let's see what we got. A Power Ranger. Right. What does the Power Ranger do? I'm glad you asked that question. A Power Ranger is somebody who works for good. They try to help other people, especially when they get in trouble. And so he will come and help. Right? Yeah. And the nice thing is, there's more than one Power Ranger. There's like five Power Rangers. Didn't think I knew that, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what one Power Ranger can't do by himself, all five can do together. And a really other cool thing about Power Rangers is some of them are guys and some of them are ladies, girls, yeah. Power Rangers aren't just men or they're not just women, they're both. Now, these Power Rangers have special suits that they wear, right? Helmets, the whole bit. But we don't have to have special suits or helmets in order to help other people, do we? And just like these guys have power, so we have power. And our power comes from God. God gives us the strength and the help that we need to help other people. Now, sometimes we do that all by ourselves. Sometimes the job is too big for one person to do. And so we work together to get things done. And that's why God's given us the church, so that we can work together, so that we can help other people to live better lives, and to know Jesus better. So even though you may not have a suit or a helmet or a sword or the gun, you're still kind of like a Power Ranger. But the power that you have comes from God. Okay? All right. So let's pray. God, we want to thank you that you're a part of our lives. Help us to look around. Help those people around us who need your help. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my numbers mysteriously vanished. Somebody was nice and cleaned the church and took them. So, I'm going to keep the can this week, and I'll bring it back. We'll do it again next week, okay? So I'll come up with something for next week. How's that? I'll tell you what, maybe I'll put something in a can, and you can tell me a story. Some of you are going, yeah, that's really good. And others are like, whoa, I don't think so. Anyway, thank you. We'll see you later. Whoops, pardon me. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, here's your first question for the day. How many of you have ever heard of the sport of, boy, this is a tough one, pedestrianism? It's a real sport. Well, it was a real sport. Right after the American Civil War, back in the 1870s, and 1880s, the biggest sport in the United States was pedestrianism. And it was so popular. I mean, think about it. You know, they didn't have things like we have today. They didn't have TV, computers, smartphones, all that stuff. So they went to these different functions. And this was so popular that they actually had pedestrianism trading cards. These were kind of like the first sports heroes of the United States. And I'm not making this up, seriously. It's real. I even went and found some of the trading cards on. You can go and look. Don't do it now. Put your little phones away. You can look at the images later. They are there. And they actually got endorsements from different companies. Now, what pedestrianism is basically this. They were pedestrians. They walked. And what they did is they walked in circles. They would make a circular dirt track, put bleachers and stuff around it, and these guys would walk. But the thing is, they didn't just walk for a few minutes. They walked for 144 hours. That was the race, which is, if you want to do the math, it's 6 days. 144 hours they would walk. That was the race. And they'd have cots so they could take little naps. They would have snacks and water, and actually they thought that champagne was something that was good for them, so they fed them a lot of champagne. So, woo, yeah. They didn't figure it out till later that was not a good thing to be doing. So anyway, and they would push themselves. They very seldom slept. They would push themselves to the limit in order to win because they won big bucks back in those. I mean, for them, it was a lot of money. And then just as quickly as it began, it kind of died out in the 1890s and didn't appear again. But while the sport of pedestrianism may be gone, I think some of the vestiges still exist today. I mean, just think about it. Aren't there times in your life when you feel like you're kind of walking around in circles? Day in, day out, hour in, hour out. You're just walking around in circles. You're just kind of going through the motions of life. You push yourself to the limits. You do as much as you possibly can, but you don't really feel like you're getting anywhere. No, we eat the same kind of snack. We eat the same kind of junk food over and over again. We know it's bad for us, but we do it anyway, and then we wonder, how come I'm not losing any weight? Or, I can't get to it today. Let's see if I can. I got this crazy t-shirt on underneath. I can't. But, you know, how many times are you sitting over your cell phone? Or your iPad, or staring at a computer screen, and then you wonder, why can't people have a conversation anymore? Or you pick at one another. You know the right buttons to push, and you wonder why you end up in arguments all the time with family and friends. Or you have the same friends over and over and over again, and you wonder why you never make any new ones. We walk in circles. Pedestrianism. I think it's been around for a really long time. I think it goes all the way back. I'm not really sure how far back, but I think it even goes back to John the Baptist. Why in the world did people go from Judea, Jerusalem, all these places to see John? It certainly wasn't for his fashion sense, because John didn't have any. Camel hair tunics and wide leather belts were no more popular then than they are today. And it wasn't for his cuisine. Locust and wild honey. Mm-mm. Would you go out for that? I don't think I would. So why in the world did these people go out to see John? It's because they felt they were walking in circles. When it came to the relationship with God, something was just missing. They were going through the motions. They were keeping the laws that may helped you keep the laws so that you wouldn't break the laws that you weren't supposed to break. You can take that one home and think about it for a while, but it really is there. They were reading Scripture, if they had the time. But they weren't getting anything out of it because they never took the time to really think about it. Because they were too busy trying to just scratch by, do all the other things in life that they had to do. God seemed far away, indifferent. They just didn't really know Him very well. And so something was missing in their life. They needed something else. Because no matter what they did, they were told repeatedly that they never did enough. They hadn't done it right. God was angry. You know, when you're told that over and over and over again, that's gets kind of bad. Why try? Why do anything? If you're not getting any closer, why should you keep trying? And so they needed a change. And this is what John was offering. What's it say there? He was offering a life change. And the word that's used in the NIV is the word repentance, the word repent. And I purposely use the other one because I like the word life change much better than I like the word repent. Because when we think of the word repent, we often think of what? Something bad that we've done. A bad behavior, a bad thing, something we need to get rid of. We're horrible, we're rotten, whatever. God, please forgive me for all this stuff. And that's not what the word means. The word repent simply means change. Change the way you think. Change the way you see. It's about changing your life. But the change in your life doesn't begin by what you do. It begins by something inside of you. You change the way you look and feel and see and think. And because of that, because of the way that you look and think and feel, then you act differently. It's not something that's added on top to make you look good. It's something about who you are that comes from within you. And that comes from knowing God. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him. And that's what John was offering, a new start. a new way of living, a new way of looking at things, which then changed how they felt, not just about the world, but about themselves and God. And it produced a change in how they lived. So the question then is, how do we break this cycle of walking in circles? Because we all do it. Anybody ever see the Winnie the Pooh cartoon where Winnie the Pooh is walking around in circles? And he keeps following the footprints? And what he doesn't realize, what? Are they his own footprints? You know, he's trying to find whose they belong to, but they're his. If we want to quit walking in circles, we have to keep our focus on something. If you've ever been in the woods and think that you are walking in circles, you probably are. They've just done this study that walking straight is really a difficult thing to do. If you put somebody in the desert, you put them in the woods where there are no markers, no landmarks, no whatever, you will walk in circles. I know. Sometimes you look at me like, are you making this up? No, I'm really not. It's true. It's easier when you have no landmarks to walk in a circle than it is to walk straight. So if we want to quit walking in circles when it comes to our lives and our relationship to God, then we've got to have a landmark. We have to have a focus. And the focus of our life has to be Christ. When we take our eyes off of Him, when we take our eyes off of God, then life becomes not a walk in the park, but being lost and walking in circles. And that's what John was all about. Change your life, change your heart, change your mind. Keep your eyes on Christ. Allow Him to make the changes in you. You know, which is really different from most of the stuff that we read. If you go on the internet or you go to a bookstore, you can find all kinds of books about how to help yourself. How to change your life, changing your life for dummies. I don't know, there's all kinds of them out there. You can have the better life. But they're all about one thing. It's about us trying to do the great American thing of pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And while it does require effort on us to change, change begins with God, not with us. When we get to know God, not about Him, but when we get to know Him, then change can take place. Because what happens is this. We allow God to shape us the way He would like us to be shaped, not the way we think that He wants us to be shaped. You got to think about that. You allow God to shape you rather than you try to shape yourself the way that you think God wants you to be shaped. In other words, you allow Him to be the potter. Allow yourself to be the clay, rather than trying to tell God how He ought to do it, which is really kind of tough. I'd much rather tell Him what I think than to listen to what He has to say. But if you're tired of walking in circles, if you want life to have meaning and purpose, then here's the key. Keep your eyes, keep your mind, keep your heart focused on Christ. Because when you do, you'll find that life is different, you're different, and you will indeed live differently. You'll have the life that God wants you to have, a kingdom life with meaning, purpose, value, and most of all, direction. Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. Amen.